Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about financial independence. It's a common topic, but we're going to dive into some details that I wish I had known as I began that financial journey out of debt and towards financial independence and beyond. We're going to be talking about your magic number and how to find it and the effect, the nature and effect of financial independence, which is pretty interesting. Before we dive into it, quick shout out to new listeners in Guernica, Lomo, Spain. Gracias por esa conexión. Thank you for this connection. We're so excited to have you here. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, follow the link in the show notes. That'll take you over to the website. Make sure you sign up for the weekly roundup, which is a nice, neat, tidy email every Friday. That gives you all the things in one nice, organized email, so you won't miss out on anything. So, financial independence is an interesting beast. So first, I think we're going to have to make a bit of a definition here. When I say financial independence, what I'm talking about is having enough money that you never have to work again if you don't want to work. It doesn't mean you won't work. It doesn't mean you're just going to sit on the front porch. It just means you can do what you want with your time and your effort, regardless of whether or not it is a money-making endeavor. If you want to volunteer, or if what you want to do is not a big money maker, well, that's fine. You can still do it. So that's what financial independence is. It means not having to work if you don't want to, or in other words, working at anything you want to, regardless of whether it pays. Living the life you want. Spending your time the way you want. Well, at least that's kind of how you'll think about it at first. So we're going to start there. Now, you've worked so hard to get out of debt at this point, if you're sort of working towards financial independence. Now, if you're not out of debt yet, get serious about that. Pay off that debt, because it's going to really put a huge engine behind saving for financial independence, saving for your future, for yourself to create the life that you want. So if you're at that point and you're out of debt and you're trying to save up for your dreams, and because you work so hard to get to this point, and because you're still working hard to save for your dreams, that not working for a while sounds really nice. Now, when you first reach financial independence, you're very likely to spend a little while not working, just vacationing and checking off your bucket list. But eventually, and Tim Ferriss did a really good job of really discussing how this goes, eventually you get bored and existential questions drive you back to some kind of quote, work. It just won't feel like work. And it may not be paid. In fact, you might pay to do it. But we're going to use the word work all the same. Now, before we go down that rabbit hole, let's define financial independence in the way that you, in your post-delirium state, will eventually settle on defining it. Financial independence is a number. It is a measure of your net worth. And that magic net worth number is the number at which you can live off of your money for the rest of your life, doing all the things that you love to do, no matter how long medical science allows you to live. This number is different for everyone. So I wouldn't believe any one article that's like, oh, as an American, you need $3 million to retire. No, you don't. It depends on what kind of life you'd like to live. And that's very different for everyone because everyone likes a different lifestyle. Different people prefer different types of investments for all that net worth. So what's your number? We're going to talk about how to calculate that. To calculate your magic number, you're going to start by daydreaming. No, really. You're going to start by daydreaming about your ideal lifestyle. You can live anywhere in the world. The whole world. Where do you want to live? Maybe you don't know yet, but you've got some ideas. Maybe you have a dream location, or maybe you want to be a full-time nomad and live in a new place every month. Or maybe you want to be semi-nomadic and live in a specific set of 2 to 4 places that you sort of rotate through, you know, winter in one place, summer in another. Keep the daydreaming going. What kind of housing do you want? Do you want to live in a house or an apartment or an RV or a boat? How do you want your day to go? What do you do with your time? How often do you want to eat out versus cooking at home? There are no rules here. Design the life you want and figure out what it would cost for a year of that lifestyle. I mean, really dig into it. Actually look up menus from restaurants in a town that you think you would like, or several. And average them. What would it cost you to eat out? Do the research. What would it cost you to buy a house or a condo or rent an apartment or get that boat or whatever it is? Figure out what it would cost for 12 months, a full year of that life. Now take that number, that 1 year of cost, and multiply it by 25. That is your magic number. Now, why is that? It's an old rule of thumb, but a pretty good one to start with. Many years ago, many smart people calculated that you could take 4% of your net worth each year to live on. And even in the worst of all stock market scenarios, you would never run out of money. In fact, you might even end life most likely with more than you started. Now, you could argue that if investments are doing well, then you could take more. But that discussion is better left between you and your financial manager. I am not a financial advisor. I'm just telling you what I learned. Maybe it's useful to you. Talk to your financial manager. If you don't have one, get one. And we've talked about that before, and there's more on that in the book, Validation, Sabotage, and Freedom. So let's take a specific scenario. And think of this as sort of pre-tax money, before taxes. So if you need $5,000 a month to live happily, that's $60,000 per year. $60,000 times 25 is $1.5 million. Now, these numbers sound unachievable until you get there. And then they still sound huge and fun and not quite real and awesome. So you can see that the less you need per month to enjoy life, the smaller that magic number is, and the easier and faster it becomes to achieve it. There are towns and lifestyles where you can live a beautiful life on $2,000 a month, even $1,000 or $1,500 a month, depending on what it is that makes a beautiful life for you. If you have expensive tastes and you want big expensive things, you're going to need more money. If you like simple things and inexpensive things, you're going to need less money. So you see, it's different for everybody. It really does. And that may change a little bit over the phases of your life. But for now, try that exercise. Daydream the life. Research what it would actually cost. Don't guess. Go and look it up right now. Even though your reality of this life might be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years out, at least it gives you a starting point. Talk to your financial manager about the right magic number for you. Talk about the 4% rule and whether they feel that's still valid. Some financial managers say, you know, yes, it's still a good idea to kind of try to stick to 4% of your net worth and live off of that forever. Others say, oh, you know, the probability of another Great Depression is very low, and therefore, you know, you can probably get away with 5 or 6%. But have that conversation. And then here's the really important part. When you get that magic number, the first time you hear the magic number, you might be partly relieved because it may not be as high as you thought you needed. But it may also be intimidating because that number can seem so huge. And if you're just at that point where you just have gotten out of debt and you're starting to save for the future, you can think, oh my God, I'm never going to get there. Well, I don't know about that. Just start. Just start saving. And save your heart out. And not for some nebulous thing of retirement that is defined by what your grandparents did for retirement or what your parents did for retirement. Don't let it be defined by anybody but you. What does it look like for you to be able to work whatever job you want, regardless of what it pays, or if it pays at all, or if you have to pay to do the job? Now, this gets into, in part, what your purpose here is in this life and finding your purpose. Because once you find your purpose, you will be so excited to carry out that purpose that rolls into the daydream of the lifestyle here. So it can be very, very helpful, especially for your motivation and for your endurance in this process of saving up, to know your purpose or have some concept of your purpose, and to keep that front and center, because that's what you're working for. You are working for a lifestyle where you are living your purpose every day. So go and do the exercises for that. That's in the main book, Purna Asati. That's also on the website. Just go to the reading room and do a search for purpose. There's one where there are several different, I think, 7 different exercises for finding your purpose. That's a great one. Try to get an idea of what that is, and that will help guide you in the right direction. So, as always, follow the link in the show notes. Let me know how it's going. Let me know what questions you have. And if I may, share those questions with everyone else. And thank you for joining me today. As always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.